Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
It's the Son of a Butch podcast. You guys know the drill. We come to you every Wednesday. I'm your host, Claude Harmon. This week, a really good feel-good story. Might not be someone that you know, but Jose Campra, who has caddied on the PGA Tour. He's been caddying for, I don't know, over 10 years now. Currently caddies for Sebastian Munoz, who plays his golf on LIV. But Jose is also, he played college golf in America, won the Argentinian Am. So he's a very, very good player and an incredible instructor. And he has been working this past year with Camilo Villegas. And Camilo just got his first win in almost a decade. Jose was a big part of that. And I wanted to get him on. And again, not somebody that maybe everybody knows about. But I think one of the jobs that I want to do with this podcast is bring you guys some different stories, maybe some stuff that you didn't know. And I think with all of the crazy stuff going on in the golf landscape at the professional level right now, there's a lot of negative things. But to me, you got a guy that's Argentinian, caddying professionally, working with a player that's just won a PGA Tour event. I can't think of a better feel-good story. So I'm really excited for everybody to get a chance to listen to Jose. And it's a really, really good one. Enjoy. My guest today is Jose Campra. Jose, your day job is caddying for Sebastian Munoz. And you've caddied for a bunch of players. But a big win over the weekend for your other job, which is a golf instructor. You and Camilo Villegas, Camilo gets his first win in 9 years and gave you a lot of credit. And there aren't many caddies that are kind of moonlighting as golf instructors. So it's a great story. And how did you and Camilo get hooked up? I'm guessing maybe something had to do with President's Cup when you spent some time with him when he was a vice captain.
Yeah, how are you, Claude? So it's, you know, like you said, it's kind of funny, but I guess it has to do with the love for the game. You know, I've been around this for so long, and I've always been kind of interested in everything. And caddying started being my way of earning a living, you know. In Argentina, was, you know, the golf industry is, you know, it's kind of tough, and I had my experience in the U.S., so I decided to do caddying full time, but then on the side, I was always, you know, teaching and trying to learn. I mean, one time I even went to shadow you and your dad in Florida.
Yeah, you came. You came.
You know,
time here, Floridian.
Exactly, exactly. And that was probably 12 years ago. And that's kind of how I did it through the years. And going back to Camilo, yes, we know each other for a long time. He's 2 years younger than me. We play a lot of junior golf together because he was a superstar. He was 2 years younger. He was beating us. So, I mean, so I had to, I played some golf with him, and then I lost track of him. He went to Florida and he started to be a superstar. And, but, you know, after some time when I went to caddy for Cabrera in 2013, I started hanging out with him again. So I've been seeing him for the last 10 years. We have a great relationship. But it didn't come up until Torrey Pines is here in Farmers. So, you know, I see him through the years playing golf, you know, kind of struggling with his game. And but I would never, ever make a comment. You know, we'll hang out for dinner, stuff like that, never make a comment on golf. Everything will be some other subject. And I guess, you know, the week of Torrey, I was there with Sebastian. We both missed the cut. We play in the same wave, and I go back to the caddy lounge in Torrey, and there he is hitting balls, and he reached out to me. He called me, and he said, "Look, man, are you willing to help me?" And that's where it all started.
When you get a call like that, Jose, I mean, obviously, you've watched a guy like Camilo play, and I think, you know, the struggles that Camilo's had over the last couple of years, you know, with the death of his young daughter. People forget Camilo in 2014. He was top 10 in the world, right? He was like 7th in the world.
I think he was top 10 in the world up until like 2010. Then he started.
Yeah.
And then 2014, he won out of kind of nowhere. He won in Wyndham. You know, he was starting to kind of struggle a little bit and won in Wyndham, and then, you know, after that, you know, a lot of things happened in his, you know, professional life and also, you know, personal life. And, you know, that, you know, it was really hard for him, you know. But yeah, kind of like what he said, you know, I think the main thing for him was he never stopped working up early and, you know, and trying. I told him, look, we have a plan. If you're going to stick to this, this is going to take some time. I said, I like giving my students a deadline. So I told him, look, for you to be competitive again, it might take you close to a year. So, I mean, are you willing? He said, yes, I'll do it. So when we started, I said, I need you to call me twice a week because I'm away with Sebastian. I don't have a lot of time to see you in person. And I need to make sure I can keep you, like your confidence level has to stay the same because I have to keep him motivated in the process. I thought, you know, if we play some back courses for him and he shoots over 80, he's done. He's out. So, you know, but obviously Camilo wanted to play a lot. He played. I remember the week before Honda, I told him, please don't play Honda. And obviously, you know, it was not the best week for him. But I could see, you know, through time that he started getting it, knowing what the main things were. He started pivoting better. Low point with every club started getting, you know, more in front of him. The path, face and path started getting, you know, more to the left. And I started seeing his person started to be a lot less, right? So once we got that, then he kept competing on the Corn Ferry. And we kind of, you know how Camilo has always been like really short on the backswing?
Very short. I mean, he's always been really, really compact.
So I will get like videos of him through time, and I could see that through the years he was still getting like shorter and shorter. And the shorter he gets under pressure, the more he was sliding. He was, you know, dropping inside, and like I said, a lot of hands dragging, and the ball will, you know, come a lot in curve and left. So once he started developing and getting to understand how to pivot better and cleaning out a lot of the sliding with the hips, then we started doing a lot of, remember how BJ used to do like long swings, a lot of mobility. We started doing a lot of that because I started seeing how from him being able to do longer swings, then his pelvis started to tilt better in the first part of the downswing. And obviously from then on, he started getting how he could, you know, like use the ground better and start getting verticals out of it. So, you know, it took, like I said, it took a good 6-7 months for him to kind of understand the whole picture. And through the process, we went through a lot of different drills that kind of get him where we wanted to. And I don't know, by August, Claude, I remember going to his house and telling him, I think we're going to play the Masters again. And he looked at me and said, hold your horses. He said, we need to win. And I said, I think we can do it. I mean, because it gets to a point, Claude, for me, where I knew it was going to be, is he able to go through the big changes early on? And once he starts getting it, I need to wait for all the scar tissue to go away.
Yeah, because the scar tissue is what's, the scar tissue for players, and I think it's important that everybody listening understands that, the scar tissue doesn't come from the driving range, right? The scar tissue doesn't get built up as you stand there and build, you know, and hit ball after ball after ball on the range. The scar tissue comes from you hit balls on the range, you do all this practice, and then you go out on the golf course and you still hit one out of bounds, you still hit one in the water. And, you know, Camillo's the type of player to where he had, you know, a tremendous amount of success very early in his career. I mean, he was one of the top 10 best players in the world. He was a guy that a lot of people thought had, you know, the type of game and the type of swagger that he could compete in big tournaments. And then he goes, you know, almost 9 years of not winning. The scar tissue on the golf course, and you see it from both standpoints, which I think is really interesting, because you see from an instruction standpoint, but then obviously being a full-time caddy, you understand how difficult it can be sometimes to take what you're doing on the driving range and take it to the golf course.
Exactly. And I'm going to tell you, you know, like most, you know, golf fans or people that watch golf on TV don't, you know, there's a few things that we see because we are out there, and there's no worse scar tissue than hitting those really bad shots when you're playing to make a cut, not to win. It's different. And he's been on that position fighting for cuts for the last 7-8 years, and he will get one of the cut line and there he goes, you know, that hook or way right comes out, and, you know, it feels like someone hits you in the head with a hammer, and, you know, how do you start all over again next week? So I kind of knew when I started seeing, you know, the progress on his golf swing that the next step was to, you know, get that out of the system, and slowly started to get better. I went to Jupiter, you know, maybe 3 times the last 2 months, and I was there right before Mexico. And man, those 2 days after we played Miami before Mexico were unbelievable. We did a lot of work. We did a lot of work. I like to take him after we do some of the mechanic work. I like to do and put him in course conditions. Like I would take him out to the fairway bunkers just to do low point drills, you know, just to make sure the low point is some, you know, in a good spot. Then I would take him out on any of the courses there in Jupiter and get that left right wind with trouble left. And I go and ask him to hit me 10, 20 balls. Just, I need you to ride with the wind. I don't need you to fight it. Just ride the wind, which is totally opposite of what he's been doing and seeing himself for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I needed him to get himself in a position on the course, on the practice range, where he could actually feel what he's going to feel when he gets under pressure again. And it's just been great. You know, he's just, you know, he was always willing to do it. He was always in a good spirit to do it. Even though Claude, 2 weeks ago, when I went to see him in Miami, he told me I'm playing second stage.
He's supposed to be playing second stage today.
This week, today.
Yeah, he's supposed to, and they're playing at a club called Tesoro, which is about 5-10 minutes down the road from me here at the Floridian. He mentioned that in his interview. He was like, okay, I've got to go to second stage. Does the win give him, because I remember a couple of years ago, some of the wins in the wraparound weren't kind of a normal win. So does he get the 2 years? Does he get into the Masters? Does all of that happen? Or is this one of those weird ones?
Crazy enough, Claude, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, he wins, you know, he gets a card, that's it. But I'm looking on TV and he gets the whole thing. It's a big event. It's a normal event. So he's back in the Masters, he's back in the majors, he's back in the elevator events. So, I mean, it's just, I couldn't not write the script any better. I mean, it's just been unreal, to be honest. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, what was it, timing? And, you know, the first person I called when he won, it was his brother, Manny. Works for Siwoo Kim.
Manny's caddying for Siwoo now.
The reason why I call him is funny. This is really funny, Claude. The reason why I call him is because We love Camilo, and we are on tour. He was working for C1 with Sebastian, and we always follow him just to see how he's doing in the past. And the week we're in Palm Springs, and Camilo is somewhere in Latin America playing conferring. He calls Manny sitting next to me, and he goes, "Well, I just got in Torrey Pines." And Manny goes like, "I think you should stay playing the Corn Fairy events." And he said, no, I'm going to go. And Manny's looking at me and said, "Torrey, the South course, the way he's driving the ball, blah, blah." And you know, he goes to Torrey Pines, and all of a sudden he starts working with me. And he goes, he's gonna say that he needed to go there just to start working. This all happened because he made the right decision. You know, like, you know. Everything, you know, the timing, it happens for some reason. It was crazy.
If you're a regular listener to the pod, you know that I've been drinking AG1 for about a year now. Why did I start doing that? I really wanted to try and work on my wellness, my eating habits. And as soon as I started drinking AG1 daily, I noticed a massive, massive spike in my energy levels. Why? That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2001, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. Listen, I've talked about this. I travel an enormous amount. I'm probably on the road over 20 weeks a year. It's hard for me to have the same kind of fitness and wellness regimen that I have when I'm at home. And that's what AG1 has really done for me, because I've said this before, I don't eat a lot of vegetables. I should, but trying out AG1, it's made a massive, massive difference. And it's something that I think you can do as well. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily, and that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. That's what I do. Take it on the road with me. Go to drinkag1.com/CH3. That's drinkag1.com/CH3. Check it out if you want to improve your daily health and fitness regimen. You mentioned a couple of times low point, and it's a phrase that we use in instruction from a launch monitor standpoint. But for everyone listening, explain what kind of you think and feel low point is and how that can affect players and their shots.
So, I mean, I don't probably know the exact phrase that, Trackman uses for low point, but mainly is when the club make contact with the ball exactly where it's hitting. So if we use like a semicircle, right? Semicircle, and we have the ball right on a neutral position in the stance, and the ball is, the club obviously with an iron, we want the low point to be forward in front of the ball, with the driver is the only club that we want it to be before the ball, because we're in most cases hitting up on it. Some players hit down on it, doesn't matter, but I mean in an ideal situation we want the low point to be before. But also at the same time, the low point can affect or can tell us which way is the direction of the swing moving. Again, in the semicircle, if the low point is too far back, it's probably because the swing is moving too far to the right. So that was the case to Camilo. If we go to the amateurs, and we see most of the slicers, on the range, most of them have their low point way forward with the swing moving maybe 8, 10, 9 degrees to the left. And obviously that's a result of something that happened way earlier, but that's a description of, where the club is hitting in relation to the ball and which direction the swing is moving. Also, we need to understand, and for the guys listening out there, is that the low point for Camilo cannot be the same as the average golfer, even though he wants it with an iron in front, because of the speed they can create. So you can only get the low point so far forward if you can create certain amount of speed, because otherwise the ball will never launch. So, I mean, there's a lot into teaching and into knowing, you know, which way the player can move and what the conditions and the speed that he can get in order to create that optimal ball flight. So that's kind of the way we went. So it was everything at the beginning was pivot related, everything. We needed to get that pelvis stop sliding and moving more, like tilting more in the first part of the downswing. And after that, Claude, and once he started mastering that and getting the path and low point, we started to understand, or he started to get how from here I can start, you know, extending and, you know, getting more out of the ground and getting that shaft to align better, which started helping him to launch the ball.
Yeah, and I think it's also interesting that you noticed, because one of the things that I think is when Camilo was playing great, one of the strengths of his golf swing was the fact that he was short and he was wide, that he didn't overswing, because Camilo was always able, because he's in such good shape and works out so much and is always on the bike. I mean, Camilo was one of the first kind of skinny, thin guys to have a boatload of speed. And he could launch.
But there you go. Back then, he could launch it. The last few years, he was not able to launch it.
Yeah, and so it's funny that I think people look at golf swings, and I always love talking to other instructors. You're always trying to figure out what to take from one part to get a gain out of another part. So a guy like Camilo, the backswing always has been really, really short. But I think it's interesting that you're looking at the shortness, and as that path has gotten to the right, he actually pulls the handle down more and then is getting more. So how much longer is his golf swing now? Or is it just a feeling for Camilo that you said, okay, just feel it's a little bit longer. It's not actually really longer.
I think it's hard to say because I've never put him on any kind of technology like gears or anything like that. So if I could tell you that it's a little bit longer, it would be just my eyes by looking on TV or, you know, stuff like that. I did saw in Mexico, especially a few tee shots that I think they were like downwind where he was trying to go at it, where it actually did look longer, only with the driver, not with the irons. But for him, he feels when he's out there, especially when he goes back to the range after playing around, the main thing that he is on it right now is to feel like he adds a lot of mobility to his, you know, pelvis and torso, whatever, to try to get that club to travel even longer throughout the backswing. Because that's what, for him, it gives you the best feels to get all the other stuff that we talked earlier.
And I think Camilo winning again after 9 years is a great example of, you know, when Padraig Harrington, he won in a playoff at the Honda against Daniel Berger. I think they had to come back out on a Monday, and Padraig hadn't won in a long time, right? It'd been a while, and, you know, multiple major champion. And in his interview, I always remembered he said, you know, you don't forget how to win. The problem is if you don't put yourself in a position to win, it doesn't matter if you won a bunch and still remember. And I think this is a really good example of Camilo, Mexico. He gets in the hunt. He finishes second, but he had a chance to win that golf tournament, didn't get it done. But you know that for a guy like Camilo who's won before, he's thinking, okay, I haven't forgotten how to play. I haven't forgotten how to feel this. I just have to get myself in this position more often. I mean, if you look at the great players, Jose, they make it look easy, like, right? Rory, Tiger, John Rahm, DJ, Scottie Scheffler, they're like, well, they win a lot. But one of the reasons they do that is they put themselves in position. They're always on the leaderboard on Sunday, right? Those guys are always on the leaderboard. So you can sometimes kind of backdoor top 10s, backdoor top 5s by just hanging around and playing decent on Sunday. But I kind of thought that after the first two rounds, I thought Saturday's round for Camilo was really, really big, right? Because it's easy to freewheel it on Thursday and Friday, right? But that Saturday round is always, I mean, it's a cliche, but it is moving day, because you put yourself, you know, in one of the last two groups on Saturday after shooting two rounds in the 60s, and then you shoot even par, 15 to 20 guys go past you. And now you have to go back out on Sunday and say, okay, now I have to go out and really press and go try and shoot something really low. So I thought the round that Camilo had on Saturday showed a lot of maturity, but it also kind of showed that he felt like he could win again.
Yeah, I mean, Claude, like you said it earlier, I could have done the same work with 20 other guys, only Camilo would have made it happen. You know, there's these guys, they know how to do it. I made an analogy here with some friends that they were asking me, and I said, Camilo is the same driver. He's he's the same driver that he was in 2007. His car was not in perfect conditions. He just needed a twist on the car, but he hasn't forgot how to do it. If you look back at Sunday in Bermuda, one of the things that I was most impressed, the way he walked, the way he handled the course. You don't see, and I've been caddying for 15 years. I've been in final groups as a caddy many times. So I've been really close to them. And you don't see guys under the gun walking that way when you haven't won in 10 years. It's like he knows something that others don't know, you know? It's like, and he told me once, 18 holes on a Sunday, it's long, especially when you're on the lead. And you know, and you have to know that you're going to go through goods and bads. And the key, and the bad is not only from you playing bad. It can be from you playing really good and getting yourself 2 and 3 in front. But you got to know that you have to stay the same. Because eventually with 2, 3 holes to go, you're going to have that chance. But if you don't stay the same, the chance is going to be gone with 6, 7 holes to go. So you just, I mean, the guy, like you said, some of these guys, even though Camilo in a percentage way doesn't have, you know, in 20 tournaments a year, he doesn't get in contention 10. He probably will get 1 or 2 or 3. But once he gets on it, he knows how to close it. And that's something, Claude, you know, that's something you cannot teach.
No. The only way you can become a winner is to win, right? I mean, everybody goes, oh, you know, I need to win more golf tournaments. I need to win more golf tournaments. You know, I've said this before on the pod. Brooks has always said, you know, he's won 5 majors now, but Brooks always said the hardest one to win is the first one. After you win the first major, you know what to expect in the others. You know what it takes. So for a guy like Camilo, even though he hasn't won in almost a decade, you know, he goes down and finds some rhythm and finds some stuff, gets himself in the hunt in Mexico, and then goes to Bermuda and gets himself in the hunt again on the weekend. So now he's got a 2-year exemption. He's going to be in all of the stuff. This is kind of a new lease on life for Camilo. Camilo has the things that, you know, losing a child, the things that he and his wife had to go through, their lovely daughter, Mia, and all the devastation emotionally, to get this win now at this stage of his career. And at the end of the year, I think the cool thing is, he got this kind of right at the end of the season. And so he bookmarks the end of the season with a win and now can say, okay, I've got next year, I'm going to be playing in majors again. I'm playing in the Masters. I'm going to be playing in tournaments. I don't have to worry about bouncing back and forth like he was doing, where Camilo's always a fan favorite, right? He's going to get sponsors' invites. But like you said, I mean, he's in Mexico. He's playing Latin America and gets a sponsor's invite and doesn't really end up getting to Torrey Pines, you know, like he normally would on a Sunday night in practice. But now he's not going to have to do anything. So what do you feel like is the kind of the landscape for Camilo? I mean, could we see him kind of have this second part of his career now? Because, listen, it's easier to win big events if, first and foremost, you're in the big events. You know, I mean, if you're top 50 in the world, I mean, the holy grail before LIV and, you know, now the world rankings kind of becoming a little bit of a farce. But the goal pre-LIV was always top 50 in the world, because you knew if you were top 50, you were going to play in all the real golf tournaments that mattered, right? You're going to play in all the majors. You're going to play in all the big stuff in the U.S. You probably, if you're top 50, could get invites to go play all the big stuff outside the U.S., right? So for a guy like Camilo, do you think that, I mean, he's always been you know, an incredibly hard worker. He's always been a grinder. What do you think this does for the next phase of his career and the next phase of his life?
I think, honestly, Claude, well, to sort of, I really haven't talked much to him the last 2 weeks. We spoke, I didn't even send him a message through the last 2 weeks. He called me Wednesday after Mexico, which was the night before Bermuda. We had a 10-minute talk. And mainly one of the things that I told him, because he was telling me how he felt on contention on Sunday. And I told him, look, I told him mainly, I said, it doesn't need to be perfect. Because he said, you know how these they are. I mean, he said to me, yeah, I didn't feel great. It didn't feel perfect. I said, Camilo, it doesn't need to feel perfect. It's a lot better than it used to be. And you prove yourself you can compete. So go and play again. So that was, you know, that was mainly what we talked on Wednesday night before Bermuda after Mexico. And then he called me Sunday. It was very emotional. I was here on my own watching it. I got, you know, I cried for, you know, a good 10 minutes. I couldn't believe it. And the phone got crazy and I left my house. I went to the kids to play with the kids and I left the phone and I came back after 2 hours. And at the moment I get in my house, he's calling me. And he called me and it was mainly a celebration kind of thing. We did it, you know, blah, blah. And I said, you know, enjoy, get some rest. He's going to play RSM. And I'm just thinking on my own. I haven't spoke to him, but I think everything has to do now on with expectations, you know, Claude. I mean, we got to be realistic. Obviously, we want to play in the majors. He knows how to play the majors. He's probably played more than 20 majors. But we got to set up. I think for him, it will be key to set up a good schedule, which he can do now. Stay, you know, understand what the baselines. One thing that I want to do right now is see where he is. As in, okay, these are the numbers we kind of get. If we do some kind of studying, this is how your body's moving. That's where you're playing your best. This is kind of where we're not going to do more, much more mechanical work. We're just going to try to go back to where you've been your best. And from then on, is if I have to say something about his game that I would love to be able to work some, is the same that we've been doing about mobility. I would love to be able to get Camilo to probably move 1 or 2 miles a little faster. And the rest is get out there and, you know, have our expectations. Never forget what happened the last 10 years so we can, the next 10 years, we can, you know, we can compete. Because at the end of the day, you know, I gave him confidence. I told him he could win. But inside of me, Claude, my goal was I want to get this guy to feel competitive again. If he wins or not, it will be a destiny, you know. But that was the main goal, that he can go out and feel that he can beat the guys out there. So, I mean, that's it. I mean, it's just, let's see what the next 10 years bring about. He told me one day when we were struggling after 1 month of working, I said, look, you have to do this for a living. I mean, you really need the money. And he looked at me and said, no, luckily I've done good. And, you know, I'm smart with money. All right. I said, you know, we need to commit. We need to do this 100%, and we're going to get on the right path. So I kind of earned his trust on that way. And we had a really good plan that it could have worked or not, Claude. It ended up working. We got lucky that it worked. I guess we did things the right way, but it, you know, it could have gone any other way. And never forget where we were in February. I mean, that's the key. Not forget where we were in February. I mean, we were low, low, low. So now we got to really manage our expectations and know what we can be capable of and just enjoy the next few years feeling competitive. That's it.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top
not
of it.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
So I mentioned you're full-time caddy for Sebastian Munoz, who caddies on LIV. You're working with a player that's playing, you know, Korn Ferry, Latin America, some PGA Tour stuff. So it's not a traditional kind of coach-player relationship where you're going to tournaments with him, walking practice rounds, standing on the range. I think, you know, if I'm honest, I think that can probably sometimes be a positive as opposed to a negative, right? It can be a way that the player has to take a little bit more ownership.
Claude, to be honest, it all depends on the personality.
Yeah.
But in the personality of the player, but I think as a caddy, which I've been hours and hours on the range, and I share with a lot of great coaches of the different players that I had in the past, sometimes, and I even spoke to Sebastian this, sometimes when the coach is on side, we're trying to find answers for every shot we hit. And there's no answer for it. I mean, just keep doing what we're doing. You know, you're going to hit some bad shots. And I think, you know, the other day I was listening to Brooks in one of his in social media, whatever it was, an interview that he gave, and he's so good about it. He was talking about, you know, I gave him a game of mistakes and how, you know, he tried to manage himself the best he can. And he knows he's going to miss some here and there. But he's not trying to hit a bad shot, and it just happens. And I think sometimes the fact that the coach is there all the time, it could be worse.
Yeah, I have to be there all the time with my guys because they can't remember half the things I tell them anyway.
There's a fine line, and to be honest, especially the first 4 months, I wish I would have been there a little more. Not now.
Sebastian Munoz, who you caddy for, good year this year for Sebastian. He had that chance to win where he and Brooks went down the stretch in Orlando. I continue to be impressed with Sebastian's game. What do you like about the way he plays golf?
So, yes, he had at least two good chances. We were leading in Chicago by three with one run to go also. But when they asked me about Sebastian, I always said that he has no weaknesses, Claude. He doesn't do anything outstanding, but he's 8 points on everything. And he's a guy that really, really understands everything about the game. As in, you know, he's very smart. He's very calm. He makes good decisions. He doesn't, like we were talking a minute ago, he doesn't overdo things. You know, sometimes we find ourselves overdoing things. And I've been with him for 2 years. I don't think we ever been on the range after a round. Never in 2 years. He's like, okay, I hit it worse. I'll figure it out tomorrow morning.
That is such a positive mind. DJ is the same. If DJ plays, I mean, DJ has to play really bad to go to the range. And he always doesn't really think he's played that bad. You've been out with those, he and AJ. AJ, they'll come off, he'll shoot over par, and AJ will just be shaking his head at me and scoring, you know, saying, man, this was awful today. I'll say to DJ, do you want to hit balls? And he'll go, you know, I didn't really hit it that bad today. And AJ will be looking at me, shaking his head. But it's an attribute to not beat yourself up, to not get down on yourself. You know, Brooks's caddy, Ricky Elliott, there have been, Brooks always wants to go to the driving range after a round of golf just to talk. It's kind of what he does. Like, it's like you said, a lot of this stuff with players from a coaching standpoint and from a caddy standpoint, everybody's different. And a lot of times Brooks wants to go to the range if he's shot 66 and hit balls. And then it's always Ricky Elliott that will say, like, Brooks will hit a couple bad shots. He's just shot 66. He's hitting it great. He's leading. He'll hit a couple bad shots and he'll kind of go into grind mode. And Ricky will always be the one that will say, hey, can we go home and get off the range now? Because the longer we stand here, we can only mess this up. Because we can always find things to work on. We can always find, and I think it's so important for everyone listening to realize that the quest to improve your golf swing and to work on your mechanics is never ending. But you can just go down a rabbit hole to where, and sometimes, Jose, I'll talk to some of the juniors and say, listen, what do you do when you play badly? Oh, I go to the range for 4 or something. Do you ever just go home and just go watch TV and relax? And they're like, I'd never even think about doing that. But sometimes you've had a bad day at the office and you just say, hey, listen, I know what I need to do. I just didn't make some good swings today. I didn't have it. And so, but you're right. I never see Sebastian at the range after the rounds.
Yeah. And like, you know, like you just said, for juniors or amateurs golfers, there's so much behind a bad round of golf. I mean, and everybody goes back to, oh, I hit it so bad. And he's like, yes, how good are you at club selection? How good did you read that light out of the rough? How good did you, the wind switch? How good, what do you hit driver here? There's so much about what's behind an 85 that is not so much related to the golf swing, but how bad they play the game. And they always, for some reason, always, I got to go to range. I got to hit balls. Obviously, we've been long enough to be able to understand all the areas. So we kind of know, you know, this guy shot 72, but the ball strike was actually not bad. It was pretty good out there. So there's not really a need for us to be an hour and a half on the range just pounding balls. And like you said, it can only get worse.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep experts. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's LEESA.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
You mentioned, Jose, Angel Cabrera. You spent some time with him on the bag. I think everybody knows all the, you know, just the really, really kind of sad story. But looks like he's out of jail. And there was an article I saw, his coach, Charlie Epp, said that, you know, he still wants to play. Your time with Angel Cabrera, I mean, if there was ever a natural flusher of the golf ball.
I still, Claude, I'm probably not very objective talking about him, you know, because he's my golfing idol. So I'm like a little side on it. I mean, I love Brooks. I love Rory. I love some of the top guys. DJ, I'm a big fan of DJ, but I've never seen a guy drive the ball like Angel. Sorry.
Angel, I mean, and his golf swing.
Hey, Claude, he's the only, I have a story with him. We were in 2013 BMW at Commonwealth Farms, and we are hitting balls. He's hitting balls, and I'm throwing balls with the driver. And all of a sudden, someone puts his arm here, and I turn around, and it's Tiger Woods. And I never seen Tiger Woods before that. And I'm like, whoa! And the guy, honestly, every after that time, I remember in 2013, and I carried for him, I think, 8 more months. Whenever they both were on the field, if Tiger was on the same way, he will stop and watch him 3, 4, 5 tee shots, drivers on the range. And I haven't seen that through the years for many players. I mean, you only see the top players watch others when there's really something, you know, different, excellence. Yeah. You know?
What do you think made Angel's golf swing, one, I mean, his golf swing was so repeatable.
Yeah, unique. Like, you know, unique. He's got some, you know, his one, you know, characteristic. He will have, you know, he will load a lot. You know, long backswing, kind of not as long as Daly, but very unique. But you know, obviously his body moves so well. You know, so well. And I mean, I always say he was very, very wise on a basic standpoint, like. He will tell me if it works, we don't change it. You know, things like very, very, you know, things that everybody kind of knows, but, you know, that he took for granted. Claude, there's only a few guys that play good golf for 20 plus years. Only you can name Dustin, Tiger, Sergio, Angel is on those, you know. 20 years hitting the ball that good is very hard because you go through personal issues, changing coaches,
health issues,
whatever, and you get out of that top 50 that you named before. This guy was that good for that many years hitting the ball the same. I mean, that's why, you know, how many, I think he had like 3 Sunday last rounds at the Masters for 5 years. I mean, there's only one Tiger Woods, only one, that's it,
right?
So I mean, to be able to do that tells you that the guy, you know, he was a flasher, but also he was ready for the big scenarios. He was always ready for the big scenarios. He was just waiting for those weeks.
Do you think he can come back and be competitive and play?
We after he got out of jail, we got a few texts back and forward. I wanted to, you know, just, you know, he's the one person that really, he helped me get to the States, first of all, because otherwise I could probably be still cutting Europe, who knows. And, you know, for me, it was huge coming from Argentina to have a chance to work on the PGA Tour. And then for a year and a half, Claude, he was the one that taught me how to caddy. I mean, I knew when I got to him, first of all, with his character and all of that, believe me or not, I was kind of scared. You know, how am I going to tell this guy he's not a 7-iron? How am I supposed to do that? You know, And then, I remember after a few weeks, he was trying me. And then he goes, look, just be quiet and answer what I ask you. And we'll go through 15 holes with nothing, club. I would say 190 in off the rough. That's it. And then, I mean, his questions were so hard because he was like, you think a 7 is enough? And it's like, hold on, where are we going to pitch it? How much wind you got? So I'm a big fan and I'm very thankful for everything he's done for me. And as soon as he get out, I text him, he texts me back. We got on a call. We spoke on the last 2 months, maybe 2 times, 3 times. And I see him out on our golf course. And I know the guy's trying. He wants to get back. I know the other day I was with the Ping reps and they told me they sent him some new stuff for him to try. And I know the goal is for him to be back in 2014. Claude, with all this story going on, I just care for him to be able to go back and play golf. He will win or not. I mean, that will be, kind of like Camilo's story. But I mean, him just starting to get competitive and having a calendar, just that will be huge for him.
He's one of the kind of, I think he is the OG of South American, Latin American golf. But right now, I mean, you're down in Argentina. You still live there. You came out of that system. You played college golf in America, Jacksonville State. You won the Argentinian amateur. I think everything that the Latin American AM has done, golf in South America and Latin America, I think is in as good a place as it's ever been in. This young crop that Sebastian's a part of, Waco, Carlos Ortiz, a bunch of the guys that play on LIV. There's a bunch of really good players now coming out of South America, Latin America. Why do you think we've seen this, like, there's a lot of good players now?
Yes, there's a lot of good players still. Grillo won this year in Charles Schwab in Dallas. I mean, there's a lot of good players and junior golfers. I think, Claude, through the years, going back to, like, technology, social media nowadays, back then, Claude, when I was growing up, you had no idea what was going on in the U.S. You had no idea what real teaching was. You had no idea what we could only see 9 holes of a PGA Tour event on Sunday. And that was about it, And if we were getting good players, the players were playing the Argentinian Tour, South American. But playing in the PGA Tour or being in the U.S. felt like so distant, like so hard to do. Now, technology, being able to, I'm talking to a guy right now who is in Jupiter and I'm in Córdoba, Argentina. And that's, and so now we can go out there, we can travel, we can play junior events. Now every kid that is decent, they go to college in the States. Yeah. That never happened before. And that's huge because now you go to college in the States, you get to play in an ACC, SEC school, and all of a sudden you're playing with the next Jordan Spieth. So next time you play with him or you see him, you're not afraid. You're not scared. You play with him before. He's got 2 arms, two legs like I do, so I can beat him. So a lot of it has to do with that, us being able from Mexico and South, starting to get closer to the U.S. system, which is, the top level that you can actually dream of. We get it, on an earlier stage of our life. So that's what, every one of them. I mean, Grillo went to an IMG Academy, Carlos Ortiz, Seba, North Texas, Juaco, well, he was a superstar, but most of them, they all went through a college. And also going back to the instructional standpoint, Claude, I think the last 10 years with social media, with us, I was lucky because I was working on tour, but being able to approach guys like you and most of the other coaches on the PGA Tour have a chance to shadow, that's something that has the amount of value in that is unreal. And then you can share that knowledge down here. So, it's just small things, but at the same time, the fact that we're closer to you guys, we're closer to the make of golf, is that, it's contagious at the end of the day.
We got to get, I don't think the PGA Tour probably wouldn't do it, but I think if LIV went down to Latin America, I think it'd be great. I mean, if we went to, Waco's home, I mean, I think the response and seeing all those good players would be another thing that would be really helpful.
I don't know if you remember, Claude, we had the World Cup in 2000 when Tiger and the Wild came here in Buenos Aires.
Yeah, they did, yep.
And it was crazy. It was literally close to, what was it in Australia? What was the name of the place?
Adelaide.
It was kind of like that. It was unreal. So, like, I remember one day we were talking about bringing it to South America. Juaco was asking, and Juaco asked me, what do you think will be the city in South America? And I said, I think Buenos Aires will be the right place.
Yeah, I think it'd be great. I mean, and, you know, the vibe would be great. And, you know, there's some good, I mean, there's some good golf courses down in Argentina now.
There's some really good golf courses. All you need to do is set it up right. That's all you need to do.
And the wine and the food, we're not going to struggle.
You know that. You've been here plenty of times, so you know that. Well, you can tell the guys that. They will like it. They might stay even a few more days after
this. Jose, this is one of the good stories to come. I mean, there's so much with all the stuff that's going on in the professional golf landscape and stuff. I think what I've tried to do this year is focus on, you know, positive stories. And I think for someone like you, who's, you know, caddying full time at the highest level and working with players that are winning at the highest level, it's a hell of an achievement. And you should be really, really proud of yourself. And I think Camilo definitely owes you a decent bottle of red wine, for sure.
Claude, I really thank you. We spent some good time this year. You know, we've been together for some time out there on leave. And I really thank you. I know you do a great job with your players. And this podcast for me, it's awesome to be here to be able to talk about golf with love. And this is a very small circle that we live in. Eh? And we're lucky enough to have a chance to be around these guys. And, you know, I'm just very thankful to have the opportunity, like I said, with Camilo. So thanks to you, Claude.
Thank you. Celebrate, and we will see you soon.
See you soon, buddy.
So that was Jose Campro. And listen, what a good story, right? I mean, I coach nonstop. I can't imagine being a full-time instructor, also trying to caddy professionally and being any good at it. So, I mean, what a win for Camilo. I think it's one of the feel-good wins of the last couple of years, and really excited that everybody got a chance to listen to Jose's story. He's a hell of a caddy. He's a very, very good instructor, and super, super happy for him and Camilo getting a much-needed win. I want to thank everybody for listening. Son of a Butch comes to you every Wednesday. We'll see you next week.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.